Coming up today, it's episode 500, and we're going to take a look back and a look forward. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode 500 of Traveling with the Mouse. Clap, 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 golf clap.
Sorry. Yes, golf clap.
And as we discovered before, I think we're already past episode 500. But
I don't think you're correct on that. I just, you know.
If you look through the archives, there's a couple that aren't numbered. But anyway.
A couple?
Yeah.
Well, that's because those were special
episodes. Yeah, so they don't count. They're not canon.
Right, they're not canon.
Yeah, yeah.
That is Rogue One.
Sure. Right. But my name was Adam.
I guess that's actually canon, though, isn't it? Oh, anyway.
Yep. And that's John.
Yes.
That is canon.
That is me. It's like Terminator 3. It's not canon. It's like an alternate. It's an alternate Traveling with the Mouse episode.
Yeah. A one-off that didn't
count. Isn't that what they did? They said they went back and said since they, you know, I guess it didn't, they didn't like the timeline or whatever. They said, this is an alternate timeline. Because we're just changing things up over here. Because this is our stuff. We can pretty much do what we want. That's what we say, too.
We say it's episode 500, so it is episode 500.
Exactly.
But I think we've probably done more than that.
What is truth?
In this day and age, it doesn't. It says we have 515 MP3 files on our site, so.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like I said, there were side episodes. They weren't canon. They were rabbit trails. Yeah,
that's a good question. So we lost count somewhere, or we just forgot to name and label some of them? I don't know.
Well, I mean, if it's messed up, I can only think of one person to blame. So,
yeah, that's true. It is. That would definitely be. That would be me.
And I think it would be Jason's fault because he's not here. So,
yeah.
That is the whole reason we can blame him.
That's right. So we have at least 500 episodes at this point, and we both took a look back at our first episode, and it doesn't sound as good as we sound today, put it that way.
The production quality has changed. By the way, you didn't introduce me, but that's fine.
I did, actually, but you weren't
listening. You did? No, that's not true.
I was trying to, and you kept interrupting me. I said, I'm Adam, and that's John. You kept going like, oh, canon is... Rogue One's canon. Exactly.
So I just ignored you, and I just walked all over.
You were on a train of thought, and I was trying to interject the intro, but you kept going on the Star Wars thing. But anyway, yes, you're John, and I'm Adam. We talked about that. If you don't know by now,
right? If you don't know by now, why are you listening now at this point? You know.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say, it's funny that I would use the Star Wars analogy because Star Wars is where this all began.
Correct. That was the topic of episode one, the Phantom Traveling with the Mouse.
With the Mouse.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the page, it says episode one introduction / Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. So we talked about being a show about all of our travels, but mostly Disney, which is an extinct line.
We've pretty much stuck to that. I mean, because we do give other trip reports. We talk about other things.
Occasionally.
We talk about places like Epic. We talk about Epic topics.
No, we
sometimes.
Don't.
Sometimes. Sure.
You talk about Epic Universe and I tolerate it for a few minutes.
You try to walk all over it.
Yes.
So
hopefully I don't walk all over it because I would not want to be out.
That means you would be there.
There's no shade there. And I would have to endure being at the worst place on earth, the least magical place on
earth. Which has the least amount of shade? The entire theme park called Epic Universe or Toy Story Land or World Showcase for that matter.
I mean, Epcot
is not exactly beaming with shade.
No,
if you're not under Spaceship Earth.
Right. Well, that's like a wind tunnel, too, if it's raining. And so you'll get wet no matter what. The weird thing is all these You know, it rains all the time in Orlando, but there's these lands and things where there's nowhere to go to get out of the rain. Toy Story Land is one of those where it took them 5 years to put some shade on the one restaurant they have outdoors, you know, to put some cover in the rains. Took them that long to figure that out.
Well, I would say Galaxy's Edge is not exactly a like stellar place to be when it's raining by any means. It's hard to find a spot to get out of the rain. Yeah.
Even in the marketplace, it's not really well covered as it should be.
Like all the spots where there's where you can, it gets crowded pretty quick, right? Like everybody goes for that spot.
Yeah.
So
there's very little shade or cover, like rain cover, which is what really you need.
Yeah, more than anything else.
So yeah, we talked about deep dive into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which was coming soon to Disneyland and Hollywood Studios.
That's right. This was August of 2017. So we almost managed to stretch this, that the 500 at the episode coincided with the 8-year anniversary, right?
Yeah, very close, huh?
Almost.
Yeah, we kept taking time off.
Yeah, it just depends.
It's a busy summer.
We could have kept stretching it until we made it there, but we fell almost a month short.
Well, I just realized that now, actually. You know, this was another thing that I don't know why I haven't realized this about Disney World and Disneyland. That, I mean, I knew, say, Disney World is mostly in Orange County, Florida, and of course, Disneyland is in Orange County, California, but I didn't think about the fact that Disneyland is off of I-5 and Disney World's off of I-4. I guess I never really thought about the
that I-5, I-4.
Right. Isn't that weird that they're completely different parts of the different size of the country, but the highways are 4 and 5 that they're basically off of the interstates.
That is interesting.
I don't know why that That's never
very
occurred.
Interesting.
And they're both Orange County, which is
yes, they're both are in places where oranges are a common product.
Yeah. I mean, I remember driving to Florida and passing by all those orange groves, but you don't see them as much anymore.
Right.
There is more to talk about Disney World news-wise since we've been out for a week or two. We missed because of 4th of July. Happy 4th of July. But it wasn't so happy if you're a fan of Rivers of America, the riverboat, Tom Sawyer Island, the rafts. Jason went there this weekend and he rode the rafts a couple of days before.
For the last time.
I said goodbye to it back in January. I spent a while on Tom Sawyer Island, said my goodbyes. So it was good. Like I didn't want to keep going back. So
I unfortunately did not, I couldn't tell you the last time I rode the rafts, to be honest with you, or Tom Sawyer's Island.
Yeah.
It's probably been like 30 years, to be honest, since I've been over there, but I don't have any regrets of not making it over there, to be honest. I just...
There's definitely some things I'll miss. I think Fort Langhorne is actually really cool. But the fact that it takes such a long time to get to it and very few people actually went over there. Not that many people could go over there in a day because it closed early, you know. That's why they're doing this. I mean, Disneyland will never do that because, for one, it was Walt's, you know. But two, they have way more to do there. I could see eventually them needing the space at Disneyland, obviously, but they're finding other ways to create space at Disneyland right now.
I think with it being the original park, right?
Right. You don't want to touch too much.
They want to preserve it as much as possible, even though they've had some time periods when they have not done very much to preserve.
Yeah.
For example, ruining the people mover with rocket rods.
Yeah.
So that's a big one on my list because I would have loved to have ridden the original people mover attraction from Disneyland. I think it's just really cool the way it's set up and the changes in elevation and the individual roofs on the car versus having a roof over it the entire way, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original, if they're putting money into the parks, that's definitely, I wish they would do that. at Disneyland.
See, the reason why they probably won't do that, though, is because the thing that's different is you have buildings that this thing goes into. And anytime you make any touches to those things now, you have to go with modern day building codes.
Yeah, yeah. Which is probably way more expensive than just trying to fix the track.
Because one thing you had in the original attraction that was grandfathered in that you probably would have to make way for is things like ADA. Those things didn't exist back when that was originally built.
Those laws weren't passed yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I was talking to my son about this too, though. And, you know, he liked going over to Thompson Island, but it's like, he's not going to miss the riverboat. He's not going to miss the rafts or Thompson Island. It's not something that we did every time we went because it was a pretty big time commitment to get over there and back, you know.
I don't think the current generation really appreciates some of those things, but that's fine. I mean, they don't have the same. You can't miss what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
It's like the toy you took away from the kid. If you'd never given it to him in the first place, they wouldn't miss it, right? So
that's why, you know, I guess when we were, I'm trying to think, what's an example of when we were kids, something that changed that our parent didn't like, that we're like, why worry about that? I don't know. I'm trying to think. Is there such a thing? There's probably something. I don't know.
Most of the ones that I remember, then they changed and they were like, they didn't like it so much, was we actually got to experience a lot of the original ones from Florida, at least anyway.
Yeah, the Epcot stuff. I mean, were we all upset when they closed World of Motion or the 20,000 Leagues, maybe?
I think one that we might have been too young to really think anything about that they probably, I know they expressed displeasure in, was when they changed the Country Bears to the Vacation Hoedown, which I've actually liked both. I wish they could find a way to have had both shows. Out in California, they actually kept it that way for the longest time until it became poo. So,
yeah, right. Until it became poo. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
And now it's something else entirely, right? Oh, wait, no, it's still poo.
I don't think it's that bad. I see what you mean. No, but I think like Toad and stuff obviously was a big one, but I guess maybe like 20,000 Leagues or Sky Buckets. I don't know. Is there any of those that I didn't really miss much? But
you know, I think people say stuff about, say, like the Sky Buckets to begin with, but it's not one that anybody was going to fight for, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Flight to the Moon.
Toad was the first one that really had a following for like Save Toad, and it wasn't. I mean, it was enough that a reporter would pick up on it and say this, but I mean, let's be honest, it was like 12 people, I think, or so. You know, I'm just saying it's not like hundreds of people were there showing up to try and save Toad and chain themselves to the attraction or anything. Right. So, it didn't have a big online following,
right? The other thing, too, I mean, maybe it's just because crowds are down, but I looked at the lines for, like, rafts and the riverboat on the last day, and then, yeah, there was some long lines towards the end of the day, but it didn't look like it was, like, you know, when Country Bears closed or Splash or some of the more recent ones where it was, super long waits all day, you know?
I honestly think there were a significant number of people that didn't even realize it was going to be its last operating day because they didn't really put on a whole lot of fanfare either. You know, like,
I can't give a month's notice.
Yeah, but sometimes Disney themselves put on fanfare. I don't think they did for this one.
Yeah, not as much. I don't know. Which is, you know, another reason why it's going away. I mean,
well, one thing that's different is it's one of those, it's not completely going away in the sense that it's still going to be in America. For one, it's just going to be out west.
Yeah, it's going to be like National Park, which I think could be cool. It just depends on how it's done. We'll see how they do it. The other thing is, you know, looking at the concept art, Blog Mickey did a good job of kind of like going back to even the first time Beyond Big Thunder was mentioned. Mm-hmm. If you look at that concept art, yeah, it's got like the Encanto stuff, which ended up at Animal Kingdom. And I guess it was a Coco area that is going in DCA now, right? Isn't that, they're getting that. But in the background, it looks like this Villain's Land was planned even back then. If you look at that particular concept art from, gosh, when was that? 2019? When was that? When they did that? Anyway.
It all blurs together now.
Right, it does. I can't remember. But it kind of looks like there's a land off in the distance that has like weird shaped mountains and stuff in that concept art. So I think the villain's land may have been planned even way before, you know, this. That, you know, the Beyond Big Thunder thing was probably Tom Sawyer Island as well. When they first mentioned it, we thought like the other side of like the railroad track, big, you know, Beyond Big Thunder. But I think they were talking about Tom Sawyer Island this whole time. COVID probably just slowed that down in terms of how quickly they decided to close it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell because, you know, they did have to be concerned with things like their, whatever their budget was going to be during that time period. So I'm sure that made some differences.
Yeah.
They had to pay closer attention, I think. And then once they did actually have some green lighting underway between Disney and the oversight board district, you know, I think it kind of just like kind of freed them up to say, this is what we're going to do type deal. The only thing I hated about with the U.S. parks is I think we're still going to suffer a little bit of that. They don't have the freedom to do whatever they want type deal like they do over in Shanghai and Tokyo and, you know, places that are independently consulted.
Right.
Like the Oriental Land Company, for instance, like they pour money into this. So it's kind of up to them. Spare no expense. Right. Right. You don't get that so much here.
Right. They're not as beholden to the shareholder and the price and the, you know,
the
quarterly numbers and how
much
they affect what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I'm looking too at the concept art, how it's evolved just for the Piston Peak project. And there's definitely, it looks much more compact than it did before. It does look like they're trying to at least include like maybe an homage to the Rivers of America by leaving, looks like they're trying to include now a river part. Hugging the Frontierland side, you know. But anyway, we know that this is going to lead into the, you know, the villain's land as well. And I feel like all this is going to be inside the railroad track, inside the berm, as the Disneylanders call it. But
all of it? Even villain's land?
Yeah, because it looks like, if you look at like Google Earth and stuff, there's, I think this Cars thing is only going to take up like half of the Rivers of America spot. Maybe if you look at kind of how it's positioned, it looks like it's not going to take up the entire area. And I think Villain's Land is going to be behind that. So that's my assumption anyway.
So basically it's not going to be as big and expansive as it looks like in the concept art is what you're basically saying.
Right. Yeah, it looks way more compact now than the most recent concept art. And the fact that if you look at satellite images of Rivers of America, the footprint is huge. And there's actually room behind Haunted Mansion and the Small World show buildings for more part of Villain's Land that all fits inside of the railroad track. That I think they're saying they're not going to close the railroad. It's just in shuttle mode between Main Street and Fantasyland Station. So they're not closing it.
Which doesn't make sense because the station in between is the Frontierland Station, which is actually right there at Tiana's. So
yeah,
I don't understand why you would close that station.
Because right. I've used that as a shortcut or just to stop to avoid the walking to get to Tiana's when I'm... If I'm going straight to Tiana's, I'll just get on the train and just take it to Frontierland. But
I'm just trying to think of what it is that they could be constructing, we'll say right there, that would interfere with the railroad's ability to stop there. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
Because everybody knows what's coming before it's being built. It's not like it was in the old days when they could like give these teaser things about what's coming and people didn't know, you know.
Yeah. Well, now, exactly. Now they have to announce it. before D23, what did they do?
I remember in the early days of the internet, even how you remember how when they were putting like the walls up in Adventureland, like there was speculation that they were going to put some kind of a coaster over there in Adventureland, not the magic carpets of Aladdin, and just retheming that area to be like Agrabah. I mean, you know, there was speculation of that at one point in time. So,
yeah. And there's really not a lot of space to do that.
Well, if you utilized it going all over the land, there was. That was what some of the thought was at the time. Like, take for example, this is probably not the best example, but like in when they built Goliath and Six Flags Over Georgia, they basically ended up having a coaster that literally went outside the gates of the park, right? So,
yeah, there is a chunk of land behind the monorail and where the water show or the electric water pageant boats are. There's like a patch of land that could be used for some kind of show building, but or a ride or whatever.
I think it'd be kind of neat to have an attraction that goes just outside the boundaries of what you would call the normal. To have an attraction that does. I guess in a way Pirates does, the show buildings outside the train tracks.
Technically, Tiana's does too, because most of the indoor part is behind the berm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is.
Tron is, Space Mountain is. All those are outside. Right? So.
Yeah. Much better job of hiding those show buildings than, say, Guardians.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how much, I guess they have to leave a bunch of trees to hide the Haunted Mansion show building for wherever this villain's land is going to go, you know?
Yeah, that is interesting. I bet they kind of wish it was underground at this point.
Yeah.
Like it was at California.
So, change is coming. There's already construction walls up. It's already, closed. There were crews over on Tom Sawyer Island the last couple of days. You could see they were looks like maybe already dismantling things or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, sadness.
I was really just disappointed that I didn't get to ride the Davy Crockett canoes and the keel boats one more time. I mean, that would have been...
Yeah, if we knew back then. Gosh, did they announce closing dates like they do today? I don't think they do, did they?
Because
how would they announce it? Where would they announce it?
A lot of times they didn't. Yeah, where would they announce it, right? Like there was no internet, right? At least it wasn't as expansive as it is currently.
Right.
I think the Toad one we talked about earlier, that story actually originated in the local newspaper. There were sometimes you would get stuff like that. But nothing real major. So there's a lot of things you can learn now through online means that we didn't get even in the early days of the world being on the web.
But I guess in the early days of the internet, they may have posted something. I don't know when the parks blog started, but that's where
I don't think it was there at the beginning. I don't even think the term blog came along until about the mid-2000s.
Right. Yeah, until at least maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
That's what I'm thinking, somewhere in that range.
All right, let's see. There's a lot of news to catch up on, so I'm going to go through a few of them that I thought were interesting. Spaceship Earth is going to do a refurb. It's not going to be as expansive as what they had planned, but it says August 25th, it's going to close, but reopen later this year. So that could be December, could be October, November, who knows? They didn't say, but at best, this is a 4-month refurb at the longest. So this isn't going to be like changing a whole bunch, I don't think, right?
It wouldn't seem so, but I don't rule anything out.
Looks like they say routine in the Disney official announcement, says routine refurbishment. So Doesn't sound like much.
I wonder what it is they would have to do this routine on Spaceship Earth that would take 4 months. Yeah. And they're repainting everything and giving a fresh coat of paint, so to speak, on everything.
It's definitely not the smoothest anymore.
Ride vehicle?
I mean, it's pretty loud, too. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty loud the way you're going through it. It's like, like every.
That's part of its charm, though. You want to hear stuff like that. It's like the People Mover.
I guess. It's a little loud when you're trying to go through
space mode.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So, not the refurb that we want, but it is going under a refurb. D23, the destination D23, released the schedule of events. I was trying to see when the parks panel is going to be. I'm looking for the... I guess it doesn't say yet. It just says
presentation. They may not have it.
No, there'll definitely be one.
I think they don't... I don't recall them really having that until the actual schedule was released, I didn't think.
Yeah, right now it just says presentations. It doesn't really give you a whole lot of anything specific, so...
Right, the Watts. Yeah.
It's probably going to be on the Sunday, though. I'm guessing probably Sunday morning. That's when it was last time.
Traditional, I think.
Like the last day on the last day.
Yeah, they do. They do it when they're wrapping things up. They save the best for last sometimes. I think though in the past when they did just the every 2 years, didn't they usually do it on a Saturday night and Sunday was kind of like the ending was not very climatic. It was anticlimactic, like the ending of a story, most that stories.
Last year, right? They did it on the Saturday night, didn't they?
Yeah. They may follow suit with that again this year, to be honest. I think they get more attention on that night than they do Sunday.
Yeah. Another refurb that was announced recently was Under the Sea. Journey of the Little Mermaid is going to get a refurb. But only for 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, has it really had any downtime, though, since it started? It's been quite a while now. What was it, 2012?
Yeah, I don't know what 5 days is going to be able to do. Clean up a few things. I mean, there's a few animatronics that haven't been doing great lately. The Ariel, for one, in the beginning, the whatchamacallit scene,
It's funny. You can go back and watch early footage of an attraction, and then because it's so gradual over time, you don't notice it. But if you watch them back to back or side by side, you're like, man, that was way more fluid back then.
Yeah, how they wear down over time.
The one that stood out the most was for instance, Splash Mountain, right?
Oh yeah,
I would look at it in its last days, and then I go back and look at it as a video I had from its early days. And I'm like, man, that's like night and day.
Yeah, definitely.
I watched one of the first ones of when that scene where Brer Bear is in the trap, right? And he's bouncing up and down, and it's real noticeable. Yeah. He's bouncing up and down big time, and then you saw him last, and he's barely moving.
Yes, right.
It's like
a dead rabbit on a stick, being dragged around. Anyway.
Well, yeah, the Brer Rabbit one, when it worked, it was kind of hard to notice, I think. But that one with him bouncing up and with Brer Bear bouncing up and down in the tree when he sprung the trap, that one. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yes,
it was way more fluid and had a lot more motion in the early days.
Yeah.
Whereas at the end, he was he was just hanging there pretty much. It didn't bounce up and down at all. So,
who knows what they're going to do for 5 days on this one, but it'll be closed for a few days. So there's no reason to go back to the back of the park at all for 5 days and at the end of July. All right. Well, Astro Orbiter's reopened. It took a 5-month rebuild. I mean, it's basically been completely redone.
So my question is, are the jets bigger? Do they have a little more leg room, a little more space for the adults?
I haven't looked. It looks the same to me, actually.
Yeah. So that didn't change. Yeah. Did they add Lightning Lane?
No. So it didn't.
So it doesn't look like anything major changed. That's what it sounds like.
They just rebuilt it. I guess hopefully it's smoother now and maybe it's working a little bit.
Well, was it rough? I mean,
I don't know.
That's nothing there is what I would consider rough.
You know what needs that is teacups, because it's, they need to fix that brake, whatever the braking mechanism is on that, because it sounds.
Yeah, that. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sounds rough. Buzz Lightyear, of course, we talked about that, is closing August 4th. So a lot of things are going to be down in August. Well, not a lot, but a couple more things. Hall of Presidents reopened quietly, which I figured it would right before 4th of July.
And they renamed it the Big Beautiful Hall of Presidents.
Right, yeah. By a request from somebody, I don't know who, is reopened. I haven't heard much about it other than the Trump animatronic looks way better than the other one did, like the first term one did. So,
now I almost feel like somebody in the, when they did the first term and they were like either not into it or they did it as some sort of a joke, a visual joke almost. But
the rumor still, is that they had already built the Hillary one and then they just used it, just modified it. Of course, that's probably not true, but
yeah, I don't think that's true.
But the first one did look pretty bad.
I just, especially as long as they took it down even the first time, right? I mean, seriously, that's, doesn't take that long to build a mold. I mean, come on.
But the new one looks way better. So they definitely fixed it.
So I will say, I think it's a good idea from what I've seen to shorten what any president says like in that attraction. Well, just because the attention span for such things. The attention pants for such things today, it's not, it doesn't matter who it is you put up there. They don't need to be given the length of a speech that they did, that they gave to, say, Clinton or Bush.
Right.
You know, because theirs was pretty long.
Yeah, it's, the TikTok generation is not going to sit through a 30-minute show or anything. You're going to have to shorten it.
The only thing they want 3 hours is their podcasts. So,
yeah, that's true, right? And this one is going to be 500 minutes, so.
500 minutes when it's all said and done. Yes, we're going on a marathon. We're pulling an all-nighter. Yeah.
So we're going to raise money for Give Kids the World. And no, I don't know. We should do like a $500 like goal of $1 right. For each episode.
We could do that.
But anyway, Test Track. Have you watched the new one? Have you?
I watched online video of it, of course, because I don't know how long it's going to be before I actually experience it myself. I'm not the type of person. I don't think that any of this stuff ruins the live experience for it, because it's just two different things in my book. Right, to me, right. I'm getting to see on TV. It's no different than whenever back in the day when they would show things like Ernest going on Splash Mountain. Like, you get to see what it's about
right
before actually doing it. But doing it's totally different than watching it.
Right. Yeah.
Doing so I don't find any of that to be spoiler. Yeah, I usually watch them, and I watched this one. And, you know, they kept saying about the connection. They said they actually used the Fun to Be Free song, but I was trying to listen. The audio emotional ones I've done is kind of low, and I'm like, I don't hear the actual song. I heard them use the phrase Fun to Be Free.
Right. That I recognize right away when they said it. But I'm
like, and I was trying to listen to the music they're playing in the background. I was like, no, it doesn't sound like the tune to Fun to Be Free. I'm like, I don't get what they're saying. I would have liked it to have been more obvious, the connection between the world motion things that I saw.
Yeah.
It's more subtle than I would like especially based on what they announced.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
There are some Easter eggs there. I don't know if you've come across those yet.
I've only watched it once because I wanted to experience it mostly without seeing it over and over again.
Right.
I didn't pick up on a lot of Easter eggs other than I think there was some homages to the World of Motion besides just that one line, right? Is that what you're referring to? What other?
I don't know what the other homages to World of Motion were. There's like little Easter eggs and things. Like, I think the address on that house when you first go in to get the what they say you can do, like modify your car at your own home or something like that. Like, there's an address on the door that has 82 in it, 1982 in it.
Right.
I've been seeing that they, like when you go through that and you look at the modifications, they're talking about how they do the old test track style. It's not super close to it, but it's close to the original test track vehicle. So it's one of the ones that they go through, right, on the screen. And then when you go into the tunnel for the swerve, you know, the one with the truck, the truck almost hits you. Right. There's a World of Motion logo on it at the top of that tunnel. And 82 miles an hour is one of the mileage signs. Another year reference.
Okay.
In a way, the screen, I kind of feel like, I didn't see this one, anyone else point this one out so far. I'm sure someone probably did. But in a way, when you go outside, like that part where you launch off, that they have that screen in there, right? That's kind of, in a way, a nod to the speed tunnels that they had in World of Motion. That's what I kind of picked up from that. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
The speed tunnel?
Yeah, because like you go in these rooms that had these projections, kind of like you see in Buzz Lightyear, because that attraction, the previous attraction where Buzz was, also had those, what they call speed tunnels.
That's what
because it would, you would have film all around you, making it like you were doing like snow sledding and stuff like that.
Right.
This is always World of Motion had one too.
Yeah, better looking.
Yeah, just different, you know, obviously. Yeah. This one looks more futuristic, but I just think it's a nod to that part of the attraction by encasing it in a big screen like that.
Yeah. There's also like dark ride elements too, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, and that's definitely better. I think they make better use of the indoor part than they did with either of the previous ones in a way, right? So.
Right. I mean, the outdoor part is the outdoor part, but yes, I think this is kind of the best of both of the original two, of the first two versions, whatever.
What's weird is I haven't seen what's happened lately, but they had an incident with a vehicle actually crashing into the door that's supposed to open right before you go outside, right?
You know, like it didn't open.
Is that effect working again?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I was going to say, because they said originally that they like just left the thing open for a while. I don't know if it's back working again.
Yeah,
I didn't look at that. Hopefully it's not going to be like the car crash effect.
Yeah.
I was thinking whenever that did happen, though, I was like, that's weird. I never heard of, in any of the testing and anything they did prior to that, of having that issue. And I never heard of the ride being down for that issue, like hitting the door instead of it not opening.
Yeah.
Like, how is that effect that works so well in the past? Like, how do you screw that one up?
Right. You must have replaced it with some new mechanism.
Right.
And you've got to iron out the kinks.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not going to do previews anymore, because that's like you were the guinea pigs of.
Right.
Testing.
There's a special place in my heart, though, just having experienced the original test track. There's just something, I guess, the nostalgia, maybe.
Yeah.
Miss it. I feel like I'm going to miss the build your own car thing, though, because they took that out.
Yeah, I never cared much about that. It was fun. It was fun like the first time, maybe two times that I did that. But then after that, it was just, let's get this over with.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of.
Kids loved it.
Well, that's because they're used to screens. And that's what it was another screen for them to do something on while they're waiting to ride the ride. Right. So
Jason's son used to just create cars like in the gift shop. And because you could get like a printout of a little card of your car.
Right.
And he would do that over and over again.
So maybe he's going to be a designer.
Yes, maybe. Definitely. But yeah, he loved designing cars. That was really the main thing he loved about Test Track. So,
well, it appears as though they've taken that away entirely. Now, I hope this means that they're just more efficient with the loading now, because there's seems like there's no stop gap. And I don't know that there was really one needed. They put you in these, in the original one, though, they did put you in these holding areas before they sent you out to the last queue.
It was almost like Guardians, right? You're in that holding area, and then you move to essentially a second holding area where you designed your car, and then you moved into the loading queue. But
the holding area test track, though, with the screen and And what's his name? Who was it that was doing
the you mean the original
voice on the Yeah, the original. That one always reminded me a lot of Dinosaur, the way it's the way it's laid out.
Guy's a pro.
So yeah.
He was the lawyer from Arrested Development, the first lawyer.
Oh yes. That's the, right. Yes, not the that's first, right.
The second lawyer, whatever you want to call
it. Yes. Not Bob but, blah blah.
Yeah, not he was later. But anyway. I forgot his name, but good actor. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what that kind of reminded me of, because you're like, I have an area where they get as many people in there as they can, I guess, count-wise. You watch the pre-show, then you move to the next queue, which that queue could wrap around a little bit, especially in the early days, back when you had no choice but to wait in line if you were going to do it.
Right.
I can't remember how long we waited the very first time we did Test Strike. It was a pretty good while, but not as bad as some. Like, so that queue could get up to like 2 hours easy the first time we were there. Yeah, we kind of waited till it was not as bad, I think, and then we went that afternoon. I don't think we had to wait too long outside. I think we pretty much walked right in to the indoor queue, but still the indoor queue, you know, it winded it's around a pretty good bit. Yeah. It's which it does again, it looks like. It looks like they've done a similar to the old queue.
It's probably right, that's what it looked like, yeah. A lot more moving around, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. So the Disney World, Small World, is getting the new lyrics that Richard Sherman wrote just before he passed away.
Gotcha.
Small World, the final verse that he wrote.
About. It's the last verse.
So I'm curious.
I found it. Oh.
Yeah, right. Disneyland's already has it. And I believe, I think it already has it. And then
What were the words again?
The verse is, and I'm just going to read it. Mother Earth unites us in heart and mind. And the love we give makes us humankind. Through our vast, wondrous land, when we stand hand in hand, it's a small world after all.
I wanted to hear you sing it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. We'll hear those dolls sing it for over and over again when you're stuck in that final room for like...
It's a tiny, tiny world.
Right. Exactly. So that's the final... That's cool that it's Richard Sherman's final gift to Disney, as they say. And Bob Iger loved it, which... You know, they show that video of, you know, that publicity video, essentially. But apparently Bob Iger loved it. And so they're incorporating it. It doesn't say when. It just says soon. I don't know.
Soon and very soon.
Yep. Right. I'm looking. There's news about Food and Wine Festival and everything and all that. But we don't have to get into that. That can get boring.
Food and Wine, what is that? Start like next week?
No, actually, it's not until August.
What?
Yeah.
How dare they? It's not even still full Food and Wine at that point, right? So it's like the beginning. Yeah. It's like a soft open for Food and Wine.
Right. So the actual Food and Wine Festival is August 28th through November 22nd. So it's kind of back to pre-COVID dates almost, instead of being like half the year.
Wasn't it pre-COVID date September?
Yeah, I think it was, like maybe just after Labor Day or maybe even late September. I don't remember, but.
It wasn't the first, like, I don't know, Halloween party back then in mid-September, not mid-August.
Right. But August 28th is way later than it has been. And, anyway, there was one year where it basically went straight from Flower and Garden into Food and Wine.
Well, I'm glad to see some separation.
Yeah, this is... A good long diet, Epcot. Epcot needs to diet for a while.
It's bloated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bloat in Epcot.
Let's see. Boutique got a refurb. And it's finally reopening. But nothing special.
Did you miss it?
Not really. If I was there, I would have missed it. There's a big construction update on the Lakeside Lodge, Lakeshore Lodge for Bay Lake. It's coming along quick. So that's good.
I think construction is ramped up now. It's like it's back to its normal speed.
Yeah, that would seem to be the case. So that leads us into like the final thing I wanted to talk about is if it takes us 7 more years to get to 1,000, what is, say it's 2033 or 2032, whatever you want to, what are we going to be talking about? Let's make some predictions.
Well, first of all, by that time, we're going to be completely replaced by AI Adam and AI John.
That's true. I think that might be before episode 600. We'll see.
So I'm just saying, I mean, that's what you have to look forward to, folks.
Yeah.
What's going to be different at Disney by then? What's Disney going to look like by then?
Is Villains Land going to be
open? Don't they already have the plans for those?
Yeah.
What will they be working on by then?
Fifth gate.
They'll be working on a fifth gate by then, based on the numbers, right? Or was it not going to start until was it not going to start until 2035?
Yeah, I think so. So
still at least have a
blue sky by then.
Yeah,
concept.
You're right. They'll at least have a blue sky to talk about, and then they'll change it the next year, kind of like they did here,
right?
Somewhat. Yeah. So you'll have much longer time period to enjoy Rock and Roller Coaster and Dinosaur. They'll still be around by then. Oh, wait. No.
Gosh, which park do you think will be the main focus by then? It'll have to be Epcot again, wouldn't you think? Because
I don't think Animal Kingdom's been given enough love, even with the expansion over there at Dino Land.
I'm hoping we get a Lion King ride of some sort at Animal Kingdom.
Is it going to be one of those that's for the well overdue, like Little Mermaid?
Maybe for like the would be the 40th anniversary of the Lion King. It'd be coming up. They'll be building a Lion King ride for the 40th
anniversary. Well, let's see. Little Mermaid was 89, right? Or was it 88? Was it 89? I think it's 89.
Mm-hmm.
So Little Mermaid was 89, so whenever the attraction actually hit at California Adventure, at least, was right. 10 or 11. It was whenever California Adventure was re-overhauled or what have you.
Yeah, it was so, somewhere in that 2010 to 2012 range, yeah, one of those.
So that took roughly 20 years, we'll say, to accomplish getting one there. So Lion King's already past that.
They are getting one at Disney in Paris. So that's going to be... Maybe they'll just clone that one and bring it to Animal Kingdom. If it's successful, that's probably what they'll do.
Maybe.
Do you need another water ride in Animal Kingdom? I guess there's only Kali that you could get really wet on. So maybe you could.
Yeah, see, Kali, when it comes to those types of raft rides, I feel like it kind of pales in comparison to some. But, I mean, it's all right.
Yeah.
Because I've never gotten super wet, I don't think, on it. But you stand the chance. If you're in the right spot, you will.
Well, at the end on Kali, if you get some people squirting you with those elephants, if it gets backed up at all, you will get completely drenched by people soaking you from the bridge.
Yeah. Elephant squirt. Okay.
Yes, basically. That's not water in their trunks. It's snot.
No. Yes.
Oh, sorry. That's.
Some people think it's water, but it's snot.
Right.
Right.
There you go. You said it correctly. I'll
be here all week, folks.
There's a big parking lot behind like the current Lion King show building, like right. Where the Festival of the Lion King is. They could easily relocate some of that parking area for cast members, whatever, loading and unloading stuff, and add, you know, this dark ride for Lion King back there. So there's plenty of room. So
that would be cool. Yeah. Why do cast members need their own parking? They can park where we park.
Right. No, but they can easily move that, is what I'm saying. There's tons of room behind Animal Kingdom on that side for an expansion of.
You know, even though it seems like it's not been a super long time, I mean, we're coming up on, and not just a couple of years, being 10 years since Pandora.
Yeah.
So it probably needs a little bit of love as far as upkeep upkeep goes, don't you think?
Totally. I think the land is completely underutilized. I just don't think they've done enough to it. There was so much possibility when it first opened of what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They've just, like, the whole drum area that they were going to do is, like, completely, they don't do anything there anymore. They have, like, yeah, that big suit out there, the, forgot what it was, the giant walking suit thing.
It's still an immersive area. It's just once you get into it, it's kind of tight. Like, yeah, it's only really two things.
Right.
And they're like side by side.
And a great restaurant, and of course.
But. And then, of course, they do some other things for aesthetics, I know. But it also makes the walking path more narrow that you got to utilize.
Yeah.
So, and especially early morning at Flight of Passage, if it's going to be any kind of a busy day, that's going to go... the line's going to start going toward that bridge that goes to Africa.
Right, yeah. A lot of times you have to go halfway down there to get halfway to Africa to get to the back of the line.
You got to go halfway to Africa.
I mean, yes, metaphorically, actually. But.
Yes, but the thing is, once in that case, once the line moves, it does get you in the building pretty quick. It doesn't stay out there. It's not like it's out there regularly.
Yeah. Right. That's there just until enough people get in the queue to fill it up. Yeah.
There was a time, I don't know how often it gets utilized now, but there was a time when you had to like, they had to like rope it off, right? And let some of the people that are in the queue go across and then take it away to let people walking through cross, you know, and just.
Right. If you're heading to like Navi River Drain from the other way,
or trying to get to
Satuli.
Satuli or was it Pagu Pagu?
Yeah, right.
One of the two?
Yep. So not the best way they did that, but anyway, yeah, they did mention before that they were going to update Flight of Passage with the newer film, but they haven't done that. I hope they do, because whatever the issue is, whether it's the 3D glasses or the film itself, Flight of Passage does not look as good as it used to, that's for sure. It has deteriorated quite a bit.
I don't know. I thought it was fine the last time I was there, and that was when did I last go to Animal Kingdom? January? I'm trying to remember.
Every time I'm in the cave, which my favorite part, by the way, is when you're in the cave where you get to buy all the rest of things, where it's not a, like I can't see it. Like I see like multiples, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's not clear. The image is not clear for me. The last several times it hasn't looked good to me. But
that is one attraction, though, that I've never had like... the, like the sensory, what takes place, I guess, is the best thing to say. Like all at one time, all the different elements involving how they all interact.
Mm-hmm.
I guess immersion is the best way to explain it. I don't think I've had an attraction like stir up emotions in that manner quite like that one does, even still, you know. It's pleasing, let's put it that way.
Right. Have I told the story about when I rode Soarin' with this guy next to me and, he warned me ahead of time. He's like, when the elephant comes up, I'm going to cry. He's like, I'm just telling you right now. And I was like, hey. And then sure enough, when the elephant, he was just like, there's an elephant. It's so beautiful. And he was just like sobbing. And I was like, okay, I guess he loves elephants, but.
It's like he has an elephant fetish. Okay.
Right. But I guess, I mean, all you really smell in that scene is the grass, but maybe he loved. I don't know what.
Maybe he loves the smell of grass.
Maybe he had some grass right before he came in there.
Did he have a camera? Was it all for? It sounds like
something that. It was an older guy. And he was like, I'm going to cry when these elephants, when you see the elephants. And sure enough, he did. I was like,
that's just a little weird.
It was, yeah. I don't know. I should have asked him, like, what's your thing with elephants? But.
I think the current version of Soarin' the World actually has more surprise elements that come about in it than did the original.
Yeah.
Like a lot more, if you don't know what's coming, a lot more jump points.
Yeah.
Like when you do one. Yeah. That's one of them.
The airplane.
But I mean, I think in the original one, the only time you jumped and like you couldn't help it was that one boo on the fireworks. It's like,
oh yeah.
It's like even you knew it was coming, but when it comes there, you're still like, dude.
Yeah, and it
it's like it just jolts you awake.
Yeah, I'm like, did they shake the ride vehicles on purpose, or is that just everyone jolting?
I think it's everybody just being surprised by it. They're like, ah, it's just the way it feels.
The thing that bugs me, talking about the Sydney scene again, with, and the jump scare and soaring over the world, is now it bugs me because as soon as you cut to the Sydney, Australia scene, I hear the plane coming. So it's like, it kind of bugs me because I'm like, that darn plane's about to fly right in my face. And I'm trying to look at like the Sydney Opera House or whatever. But I see it. Like you can hear the plane coming the entire time. It's not like the other one where the eagle flies over and you're in like Utah or whatever. The bird's like circling around. It's not like flying at you the entire time, you know.
You're right. Anyway,
weird things that you notice when you've done it a bunch, I guess. All right. Is there any, I think, so what are we talking about in episode 1000? I forgot. Is that what we're still talking about?
Oh, in episode 1000? In the episode 1000.
So far, we hope there's a Lion King ride coming to Animal Kingdom.
Let's see. By that time, we'll be talking about Test Track 4.0.
Oh.
Not really. Not after 7 years.
Well, not hopefully not 7 years, yeah. Maybe.
Let's see. How long did it last? Let's see. The original was 99 to about
2010 or 11? 2010?
2010 or 11. So, I mean, it did only just barely over a decade before they made a change. And then this one made it just barely over a decade for a change. So,
yeah.
Seems like they think, it seems like they at least think about it every 10 years.
Yeah. Every 10 to 12 years. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I hope is completely different by then is Figment, or Journey to Imagination, because, you know, we're talking earlier about how, like, at the end of a ride's life cycle, how they don't seem to care that much about the maintenance.
Right, that is right.
Definitely true with Figment Co. We'd better be getting an announcement at D23 that this is changing, because they do not care about this ride.
Talk about a scene that would make you jolt and take you by surprise. That was another one.
Well, yeah, but
at the end of that one, if you can't see it already, right?
Right. And I told you last time we did that, like half the scene wasn't working and there was no audio whatsoever. There was no, all of a sudden we're just sitting there thinking the ride broke down and then, you know.
So it was more of a jump scare. I'm thinking originally, like the original one, right? That was like whenever that came to that part and you didn't know it was coming, especially. It was like, it's like, imagine this is a blast. You're like,
right. Yeah. Right. Well, we didn't even get that dialogue at all the last time I wrote it. It was just like, we thought the ride broke down because it was like dead silent. And then, boosh, all of a sudden. So it was really a jump scare then.
Eric Idle was idle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. It's a shame he wasn't more headstrong. Anyway. All right. Well, I hope the Play Pavilion by episode 1000 is going to something.
No, Wonders of Life will still be, it's going to be like a permanent festival center.
I mean, it's not a festival center anymore. It's just going to be a permanent empty building.
Maybe.
What are you going
to
do?
Things that are better left to rot.
All right, well.
Hopefully we'll have that refurb of Spaceship Earth by then. What else?
Yeah, I'd love to see Spaceship Earth get some new scenes. Carousel of Progress, that's been rumored forever that they might do something to it.
If history has anything to say about it, I mean, Hollywood Studios will have gone through another overhaul at that point.
They'll just add another land or have some IP that they can do.
I feel like that's the like park. They said that Epcot was never going to be finished. I think you meant Hollywood Studios, really. It's like always changing.
Yeah.
It really does. It feels like it's changed. Even though Epcot's had a lot of changes, I feel like if you want to look at a park that you look at it now and say it looks nothing, like you can't even tell what it used to look like, right? In some cases. Mm. You don't get that from Epcot. You can at least see what it used to be in a lot of areas. So
I think they're going to build an Elio Land or Elio Land at Hollywood Studios. Has this done so well?
Yeah, I think not.
Well, what franchise? Because Monsters, Inc. was like 15 years ago when they did the last one.
What franchise is going to pick up?
What franchise is like as old as...
Well, apparently they're going to revive Stitch because of most recent successes. They're just going to do... They're going to make a live-action ride. I don't know.
Well, they already have... You already have Stitch's Great Escape ready to reboot, right? Just let it go.
Possibly. If they reboot the exact same thing, though, they're definitely not. Yeah, that ain't going to work because that was terrible. That was the worst.
I hope they'll do something with that building, though, right?
They will eventually. What could they put there, though? That's the thing. You're kind of limited on your what you can do with that space.
Circle Vision show or something. It's got to be like a small thing. No one's going to watch that, so.
Nothing. I can't possibly fathom them coming up with anything to me that compares to Alien Encounter as far as utilizing the space. That was best idea. No surprise it came from Lucas himself.
Right. It just didn't fit Magic Kingdom, I guess. So. Thanks.
Although I find it hard to believe that Lucas, he probably didn't write the dialogue because it didn't sound like Lucas dialogue. But
no, definitely. But he's a good idea man, or he was.
Right. He is good at concepts.
Right. Okay, well, I guess that's going to do it for episode 500.
Number 500. We actually...
Like 515.
Yeah, if you stop ruining the illusion. Stop ruining the magic. You're not supposed to be telling the secrets. Who would have thought we would have been doing this still?
Yeah, that's true. 500.
Still making an attempt to entertain.
I mean, I think it's more or less just therapy for us for talking about Disney.
Is that what it is? Okay, so it's really more for us than it is for you guys. So screw you guys.
Well,
no.
What's that guy? The guy with the long beard. He's basically like, art is, you're supposed to create it for yourself, and then the audience is secondary.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's what we're doing.
Rick Rubin.
We're creating art.
Yeah, Rick Rubin. Yeah.
The audience is secondary. So, but no, I mean, for if anybody is entertained by our banter and our advice in some cases and our opinions, we thank you.
Yeah,
we know we do have some listeners. We're not we're not on a big level, but we do have our following, and we appreciate each and every one of you.
Thank you all
that decide to put up with us on a regular basis.
Indeedy. So, where can we be found? For those who don't know,
for those who don't already know, well, I mean, there is still things like social media, like Facebook, Instagram, X. Those are all at TWTM Podcast. Still have a Spreadshirt store where you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. Not to mention we have another store. Where's that, Adam?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can get links to the Tee Public store there, which has the Skyliner, monorail, and some other merch as well. And you can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. So for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, episode 500. We hope you will join us on our next 500.
Oh, yeah, we're on YouTube, too.
We need to add more.
I didn't mention that.